Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy Sunday. I hope that you guys had a good Resurrection Sunday, a good Friday. It was lonely for me. And I tell you guys this often from the altar, but I miss it. I miss the handshakes, I miss the hugs, I miss the smiles. And a time's coming soon that we'll be back together. But until that time comes, I thank you guys for tuning in. I've had a couple weeks to prepare for these sermons, and as me and Garrett have been pacing the sanctuary praying, I said, Lord, what do you want me to teach? What are you going to lay on my heart? What are you challenging me in this week? And as I asked that question, this came to my heart. My son, what game are you playing? And then when he asked me that, a memory came to my heart. And I want to take you guys on this trip with me real quick so we can start to grasp this. It's about 20 to 25 years ago, and it's Uniontown Soccer versus Belle Vernon Soccer. Belle Vernon was known as a good physical soccer team. And we were down on the field. Now, in those days, I don't know if it's still the same, but the soccer team and the football team shared the same field. So the field goals were up, and the soccer goals were right below the field goals. And I see the Belle Vernon kids warming up. Nolan, still friends with him today, and I'm still better than you at soccer. But I see him warming up, and I see these kids warming up, and they're kicking the ball, and they're going over the field goal, and they're celebrating. And they're like, 3 points. And I remember thinking to myself, man, they're playing the wrong game. They're celebrating points that don't even count in the game that we're about to play. Moreover, because of the way they're practicing, the way that they're warming up, when the game started, they were missing the actual goal. They were missing the mark. They looked kind of foolish, and they ended up losing the real game. As the Lord brought this memory back to my heart, I started to think of something. We as Christians are doing the same thing. We're preparing for the wrong game. The points that we think we're scoring here on earth doesn't mean anything in eternity. And we look kind of foolish. I learned these lessons from this soccer game. You can't win the game if you're not taking the game serious. You can't win the game if you're not putting in the time and the practice for the game. And then you can't win the game if you're aiming at the wrong goal. So the question is today is, what game are you playing? Are you preparing for the game? What goals are you aiming at? Most importantly, what team are you playing for? Try to be optimistic, and I try to preach an uplifting sermon, and this is. But this is going to challenge you guys today because truthfully, a lot of us are playing the wrong game. Truthfully, we're aiming for the wrong goals in life. Truthfully, we're not taking as much time to prepare as we should. And some of us might really even be playing on the wrong team. It's time, church, that we start to look inside ourselves. Just because you attend church on Sundays, just because you read your Bible, does not necessarily mean that you're playing the right game. It might not even mean that you're on the right team. The devil knows the Bible. Even he knows the Bible. In Matthew 4, 5 through 7, it says, then the devil took him, Jesus, to the holy city and had Jesus stand on the highest point of the temple. He said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command you, his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus said something to him. He said, hold on, man. That's my book. My daddy wrote that book. And on the other hand, it's written this, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. See, this is a challenge because the devil knows the Bible. And it's our job, if we're playing on the right team and we have the right goals and we're playing in the right game, to know the word better. How much time are you spending in your Bible? Especially with this coronavirus, there's a lot more free time. Are you Netflixing it out? Are you playing that game? How much time are you really spending getting to know God's word? Because even the devil knows God's word. And if he knows it, we have to know it 10 times more. The true heart of a Christian should be focused on one game, one team, one goal. So let's answer the first question. What game are you playing? Are you in the battle? There's an age-old battle going on, and I hope by me using the word game, it doesn't diminish what the true battle is. Because see, if you talk to any competitive athlete, I'm competitive. I'm talking trash on Nolan from 25 years ago because he played Belle Vernon soccer and the competition still stands. So to me, the game that I'm playing is a battle. And until the final whistle blows, or in our case, until the final trumpet sounds, then we're still in this game. And if you look at this game, this battle, there's two teams, there's one coach per team, and there's one prize to the victor. That prize is the soul of man. And that's the only prize that is there. This game, this battle started in heaven years ago. Revelation 12, 7 through 9 tells us, "And there was a war, a battle in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough." Despite all the credence that the world gives to the devil today, it says it right here, he's not strong enough. He might be strong enough if you're operating in your nature. But if you're operating with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, it says it right here, they were not strong enough. "There was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him." Because of Satan's pride, because of his arrogance, he rebelled. And he knew that once he rebelled and he was defeated, that now defeating God was unattainable. So what's the next best thing if he can't defeat God? He went after his children and he went after his bride. And that's been the battle, that's the game that has been waged since eternity. That's the game that is being played. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, "Be alert and of sober mind." Guys, we have to be alert. There's so many distractions in the world. There's so many things that can take your time away from the true game. There's so many, everything. The internet, TV, vacations, jobs, your family. Not that those things aren't important, but they distract us from the true game. "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." See, guys, we have a lot on our plate. We go to our jobs. We have a family. We enjoy the good things of life, and that's okay. But there's a lot of distractions. The devil has one goal only. He is single-minded, single-focused. His job, his demon's job, is this: to take you down. Not only to take you down, but for you to have no belief that there is a God, no belief that there is a heaven, no belief that there is an eternity. That's what the game that the devil's playing here. And he'll do anything to keep you away from the true game. He'll do anything for you to realize, to keep you from realizing the true goal. The tactics he uses come down to two things. It says that he's looking for someone to destroy. And Satan will attack. We see it in the Bible. He attacked Job. He attacked many of God's servants. We see these examples. Job was a man that was upright. And Job was attacked. He lost it all. But here's the crazy thing about it, and you'll hear Nick say this. He had to get permission to God. Because God puts a hedge of protection around his children that are walking in obedience. And nothing can happen to you that doesn't first pass through the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ. Nothing. But here's the thing about when the devil attacks. A true Christian runs to God. 9/11 is a national example of what happens when the devil attacks. If you remember back, oh my gosh, almost 20 years ago now, when those planes flew into the building, one nation under God came about. And we were Christians and we were praying and we were saying, "In God we trust." It was on NFL stadiums. People were holding up the signs. And that attack of Satan led more people to God. Now, have we forgotten about it? Shame on us. But let's talk about another way Satan attacks. Satan attacks in the comfortability of life. He attacks in the complacency of life. See, Satan knows that if he attacks you, that God will work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Satan knows the Bible. He understands that verse. He knows that God's word never fails. And we should too. But how about the attack of comfortability? How about when your life's going good? How about when you have enough money in the checking account? How about when everybody's healthy? How about when you have your dream house, your car? How about when your family and your marriage is going great? How about when you're comfortable with the blessings of God? See, that's the mistake that we made. When God blesses us, we become complacent. And then it turns out that the blessings that God gives us, we sit on our blessed assurance. And we say, well, I'm good. I got everything that I need. And that's not the game that's to be played. When you have everything that you need, it's time that you pass on to others. That's the game, that none should perish, but all should come to eternal life. I'm not saying don't have a good life. I'm not saying don't work hard and don't save up. But what I'm asking is, what are you doing with the blessings that God gives you? Because if you're taking the blessings and you're becoming complacent and you're becoming comfortable, you're playing the wrong game. And you're aiming for the wrong goal. And you stop preparing, you stop practicing, because we as a nation are complacent now. We have more than we could ever want. This virus hit, and the answer is print money. And we get more money. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to starve. We don't have to be hungry. We have roofs over our head. And we're complacent, so the need for God isn't there. But let's learn something from Israel. Because Israel was put in the Bible to teach us specific examples. And there's many lessons to be learned from Israel. But one lesson is God blessed them, they became complacent. Jeremiah 2, 6 through 7 says this. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives. Then God said, I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and bounty, but you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. God will take you from Egypt. God will take you from the desert. God will bless you. But if you are like Israel and you get into the promised land and you're enjoying the milk and honey and you forget the game that's being played, if you forget where you came from, then that blessing turns into complacency. And that's how the devil's attacking. Because the true attack of complacency is you don't even know you're being attacked. You don't know it. You think, man, my life's good. I'm right in stride. God's blessing me because I'm a good person. I deserve this. You don't deserve God's blessing, but he loves you enough to bless you. He loves you enough that he wants you to have an abundant life. But when you get to the abundance, when you get to the fullness, what are you doing with it? What game are you playing? Because if your goal is just to have the easy life, to live on easy street, then you're not playing the true game. You're not playing the real game. See, the game that Team Lucifer is playing, the only goal, what they prepare for every day is this, to take as many of God's children as they can on a sinking ship to hell. That's all Lucifer does, 24 hours a day, 8 days a week. He's in overtime drive. Team God is this, that none should perish, but all should have eternal life. That is the goal of a true Christian. That is the only goal of a true Christian. And that, if you're playing on that team, that's what you're practicing for. That's what you're preparing for. 2 Peter 3:8, 10 tells us this. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's the game that God's playing. God's been coming back for thousands of years, and people are like starting to not believe it. But it's not because his promises aren't going to be fulfilled. It's because the Father's heart wants not one of us to perish. Not one Muslim, not one Buddhist, not one anybody. God's heart is slow and patient because he's saying there's a Muslim out there that really might find the love of Jesus Christ. There's a Muslim out there that might see that my son really came and died and rose from the dead. There's an atheist out there that doesn't believe in God, but there might be an attack of the devil that turns him to God. So I'm going to be patient so none will perish. That's the game that God's playing. John 10:10 tells us this. It tells us the two sides in one verse. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil's game plan. I will steal, I will kill, I will destroy you. But I have come that they may have life, and they may have life to the full. I used to take this verse as a young Christian and be like, man, I'm going to have boats, mansions. I'm going to have a great family. I'm going to have all the cars I want. I'll never have to worry about money again. And if you think that's what that verse means, if you think that that's what abundant life means, then you're playing the wrong game. And the goals that you're aiming for are wrong. Because to have abundant life truly means to have all the fruit of the Spirit inside you operating. Joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, meekness, self-control, love. That's the abundant life. That's the game. That's the goal. And here's the thing about that game, that goal. Once those fruits are operating in you, once that you have them, you're so contagious that you make the coronavirus look like it doesn't even exist. Because people will want what you have. People will say, how are they walking through this world and all these things are happening, but they're happy, they're peaceful, they're joyful. It's because of the Holy Spirit that lives inside me. It's because my Savior came from heaven to earth, and he died for me. See, this is why the word game diminishes what really is a war. To the devil, this just may be a game. And you want to know why it's a game to the devil? He got no skin in the game. Employers are finding out that if you give employees skin in the game, if you share your profits with them, that you get more dedication, that you get more sacrifice, that the employees care more about your business if they have a skin in the game. God and Jesus have the biggest skin in the game. And we say this verse so many times, and I'm so sick of people quoting it like it's just a regular verse. I preached about it a Wednesday or two ago. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then it goes on to say, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. And we'll go back to what condemn really means, but to save the world through him. Jesus has a skin in the game. He suffered on a cross on Calvary 2,000 and some years ago. And he didn't suffer and die and bleed to condemn you. See, condemn means to have an unfavorable or adverse judgment, strong disapproval, pronounce someone guilty, sentenced to punishment. Jesus was pronounced guilty for you. He didn't come to condemn. He came to love the world because the only game that he was playing is that the world be saved through his sacrifice. There's no bigger skin in the game that you can have. You see, Acts 20 through 28 tells us this. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church. Watch over the church. Protect your church. Guide the people that come into your church, which he bought with his own blood. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 tell us, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. You were bought with a price, and it's a price that's not redeemable. It was with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we don't see it nowadays because nowadays, if we don't see it, we don't believe. If it's not on the History Channel, if it's not on a Prime documentary, we don't believe it. But it's in the Word of God. And the question is do you believe the Word of God? Because if you don't, then these words don't mean anything to you. And God didn't have Facebook. God didn't have Prime Original back in the day. So the only thing that he could have was the writing, the Bible. And that's what he put down on here. That I gave my Son, that I bought you with a price, nothing redeemable, but with the precious blood of my Son. That's the skin that he has in the game, and that's why it's not a game to him. That's why it's a battle, it's a war for the souls of eternity, because he gave his Son. The game that is being played is for the souls of men. Are you playing the game? Question number two. This coffee's going down quick. Are you prepared for the game? What goals are you aiming for? Like the guys kicking the ball in practice at the field goal, they weren't prepared for the game. They weren't prepared for the battle ahead. And the points that they thought that they were scoring, the points that they were celebrating for, didn't even count in the game that they were about to play. Whoa. That's what we're doing. Scoring points with our 401k. Listen, guys, save up. Be prepared. But is that the game that you're playing? And are you using God's blessings to bless others? Are you being a river that's fresh flowing water? Are you being a dam that just holds the water and keeps the water and it gets moldy and stale? Are you preparing for the game? 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27 tells us this. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that lasts forever. Paul right there tells us the goal. These things of this earth are going to perish. Your goal should be above. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I'm not out there just running for my own good. I'm running with a purpose. I'm running with a goal. I understand what game I'm playing. I understand what team I'm on. I'm not out there just running. I'm not a boxer beating the air. And then he goes to say something really interesting. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave. So after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. In many ways, I just had this conversation with a lady back there. We have to keep our body disciplined. And it comes into a balance of mind, body, and soul. The Apostle Paul talks about training and disciplining yourself for the fight, for the battle, for the game. We here at Abundant Life recognize the importance of training. We have small groups because we believe that when the body of believers get together, when the body of believers share with each other their celebrations, their hurts, their pains, we believe in that. We're training. We believe in Wednesday night family night because not just once a week, 1 hour out of 168 hours, do we have to get together and be a family. You need filled up. So Wednesday night family night for your kids, for your teenagers, for your adults, to praise, to worship, to learn about God. We believe in sending missions out to the mission field. We have prayer groups that will pray for your needs. We believe here at Abundant Life that we have to prepare, and we know what the game is, and we are challenging our body daily to train. We have worship sessions because worship moves God. I want to challenge you guys in something, and I challenge you all the time. If you're getting sick of my challenges, tune into another channel. Mind, body, and soul. It says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. When those three things come together, your body can't contain if you're not treating it right. And your mind, if it's out of balance, then your soul and your body are out of balance. And if your soul's out of balance, then your mind and your body are out of balance. And the Apostle Paul says, I strike a blow to my body to let him know who's boss. There's plenty of us that suffer from addictions. Food, drugs, pornography. And we have to take control of our body. But the only way we can do that is through the mind and the soul. We have to discipline ourselves through our Word of God. If you are not reading the Word of God, you're 100% playing the wrong game. You most likely might be on the wrong team, and I can surely tell you that you're not aiming for the right goal. We should be preparing, especially in this time of coronavirus, our mind, body, and soul. We should be training them for the game that is being played. What goal are you aiming for? Matthew 6, 19 through 21 tells us this. We got to take our breath. Hold on. Whew. Sometimes I go a little. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your treasure is where your heart is. And where your heart is tells the game that you're playing. Where's your treasure? Is your treasure your kids? Is your treasure your cars? Is your treasure your home? Is your treasure your job? Is your treasure your bank account? Because that's where your heart is. And that's the game you're playing, truthfully. What goals are you aiming for? Are the goals that you're aiming for scoring points for something that destroys and rusts and goes away? Or are the goals that you're aiming for is when you get to heaven, your heavenly Father will be like, well done. You got it. You realized the game that was being played. I blessed you with these things because I wanted you to have a good life, but you took the blessings and you passed them on. And I'm not just talking about finances. My Stephen and Kathleen have a beautiful marriage, and we learn a lot from each other. And in that, Stephen teaches me how to be a better husband daily. He's passing on his blessings. There's people that know how to pray and they're prayer warriors. And they come and they battle and they pass on their blessings daily. I'm not just talking about giving financially. That's great. And this is a dedicated church. And I mean, I'm amazed. But there's more. There's more to that game. I learned a wonderful lesson off my pappy Bill, William Joseph Constantine. He built Constantine Egg Producers. And he built from a seventh grade education what would have been his version of an earthly kingdom. There was a big, long building, 75,000, 80,000 chickens. My first job was walking through there, worst job I've ever had. It smelled like I've never smelled. And there was other buildings, and there was a lot of employees, and there was trucks. And my pappy Bill was a giver. And for a while, that's the only game he knew. But as he matured, as he grew older, he recognized what the true game was. And I remember as a young man going down to his shed, and there's this crazy preacher, Nick Cook, he's playing on the cassette tapes, and he's listening, and he's praying, and he's listening, and he's praying, and he's listening. And my grandfather became a spiritual prayer, a spiritual warrior, because he started to recognize the true game was for the souls of men. He started to pray his generations, his family, his friends into heaven. And a lot of our family is saved today because of the prayers in that shed. He recognized it later in life. But the job of us Christians is to pass that knowledge down to the younger generations. And at the age of 10, 12, 14, 16, I got to witness a man. I got to witness a man who truly found out what the real game was. And I got to see the change in him. And it spoke to me. Because I want to be that man at an earlier age. I want to realize that the true game isn't about the money that I give, isn't about the good things that I do, it's about the souls that I take to heaven. Here's an interesting fact. If the church was playing the right game, if our goals were right, if we were truly on the right team, what team are you playing for? Whose team are you on? Because if we were, and we were witnessing, and we were making disciples, if each of us brought two people to the Lord a year, in the next 3 years, the whole world would be saved. That's pathetic. That we're missing the mark that bad, that all we have to do is let our light shine so much that two people follow us and the whole world would be filled with the love of Christ. But we're too busy. You don't understand, Mark. I work 50 hours a week. You don't understand. I got a family. You don't understand. That's just not me. That's not who I am. You're playing the wrong game. Your goals are way off the mark. And if that offends you, good. Because the true question is what team are you playing for? Matthew 7:15 through 20 tells us this. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Whoa. How are you recognized? The 1 hour that you're in here at church is cool, but the other 167 hours, how are you recognized? Do people look at you and say, there's no difference. He goes to church, he believes in Christ, but we're the same. Is that what your fruit's saying? He leaves church and he goes drinking, cussing, swearing. He leaves church and he's mean to his family. He's mean to his employees. He's a bad boss. He's a bad husband. He's a bad father. She's a bad mom. But she looks so holy on Sunday. How many people have you brought to church in the last year? How many people have you witnessed to about the love of Christ? Where is your fruit? Because it says by your fruit, we will be able to tell. So if your answer is I go to church and I read my Bible, it's not good enough. Matthew 7:21 tells us something that's really, really scary. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What's God's will? That none should perish, and all should come to eternal life, and that we show the love of God, and that we make disciples. You can sit on your blessed assurance, and you might have fire insurance to get into heaven. I don't know. I'm not God. But I know what that verse says. I know what, go back to that verse, Just. I know what that verse says. Lord, Lord, will enter the, Lord, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Are you doing the will of your Father? Is that the game that you're playing? Is that the goal that you're aiming for? When you wake up in the morning, are you tuning into CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, or are you tuning into the Word of God? When you go to bed, are you practicing, prepping, training to be God's man, God's woman? Here's the good news. If you're not, no matter what the age is, it's not too late. We read in Peter that it said that people think that God's not keeping his promise, but he's slow. He's slow to move on his promise because he's so compassionate and he loves you so much and he wants the best for you at all points in time. So he's slow to move. So if you're not there, if you're not playing the right game, I want you to read this verse with me. I didn't write it down, but I'm sure Justin got it because he's always on the ball. Psalm 103:8 maybe. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Is there another one I gave you? He will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. See, God's slow to anger, and God's not going to give you what you deserve because Jesus already got what you deserved. So if you're not playing the right game, if you're not practicing, if your goals are all wrong, know that there's not a God up there like, I'm going to nail him. This is the time where I get to throw my judgment down on him. God did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. It's not too late, no matter what the age is, for you to refocus your priorities, for you to start to build up treasures in heaven. If you're younger, great, you got a head start. But if you're older, it's okay too, because God is slow to anger. He will not repay us according to our iniquities. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. You have to understand this one thing. You have a heavenly Father that is rooting for you. He wants the best for you. He wants to give you the abundant life, full of his fruits, full of his power, full of his love. But the question is, when you get that, are you going to become complacent? Are you going to rest on your blessings? Are you going to play the game which you were called to play? I say it and I say it often, that none should perish. Because as you start to pray daily, as you start to read your word daily, as you start to spend time with God daily, you begin to have the Father's heart. And the person that annoys you the most tends to be the person that you have the most compassion for, because you know that God wants no one to perish. And you get a little bit of, what did Melanie call it? EGN, extra grace needed, or extra grace required for that person. Because you start to see them through the Father's eyes. You start to see the real game that's being played. That without the love that you show that person might spend an eternity in hell. That's the game. I challenge you to start to think about this. I challenge you to start to look inside yourself and start to ask yourself, what game am I playing? Father God, I thank you. I thank you for abundant life. I thank you for our leadership. I thank you for the hearts of this church. God, I feel that we delivered a tough word today. But I know it was a word that needed to be delivered, because there's so many of your children that are playing the wrong game, that are aiming for the wrong goals, that aren't even preparing for the true battle. And God, I ask that you awaken their spirits and in their hearts, and that you let the eyes of their heart, the eyes of their spirit see that the things of this world are fading. But what is above, what is in heaven, is eternity. Let them begin to aim for the true goal. Let them begin to see the true mark. Let them begin to celebrate not their 401k, not their houses, not their cars, not their successfulness, but let them begin to celebrate the souls that are being brought into your kingdom. Because that is the game. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here at Abundant Life. You are welcome here. Whatever we do in this church body to grieve you, I'm sorry and I repent on our behalf. And I ask that you begin to open the eyes of our heart, because the last thing we want to do is grieve you. But Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Your fruits are welcome in this place. And I ask that you begin to flood this place, Holy Spirit, with your fruits. That people come into these doors and say, this church understands. That they get the real game that's being played. That they're using all of their capabilities to complete the mission that God has. And I love that we feel peaceful. I love that we feel kind. I love that when we walk through these doors, we feel joyful. And the answer is because the Holy Spirit resides in this place. For the people watching at home and they can't join us today, let your Holy Spirit abound in their lives, in that temple, and in their halls. Let this message hit home. Let lives be changed, that we can come together as a church, and that the churches can combine and come together as one body in Christ, and that we can begin to spread the love and tell the people the game that's being played. Your Son didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. So anybody out there that's feeling judged, I rebuke that. Anybody that's out there feeling convicted, I thank you. Because conviction brings repentance and repentance brings change. But condemnation is not of you, God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here at Abundant Life. Amen.
Good morning and welcome to Abundant Life Church. We're so happy that you could tune into this live stream this morning. If you would like to, please sing along as we sing some songs. are an altar of broken stones, but you delight in the offering. You have the heavens to call your own, but you abide in the song we sing. 10,000 angels surround your bring you praise that will never cease. But hallelujah from here below, still your favorite melody. We sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Should the fire that once burned bright become an ember my eyes can see, I will remember your sacrifice. I will abide in your love for me. We sing hallelujah, hallelujah,
we will